radio and TV, entertainment, AM, FM, podcast show. With Yolanda Nolly.
Everyone will see this story in different formats. I don't know of anyone who has done it in that way, that has told a story. Usually when they tell the story, it's either a story that is a thriller, or it's solely a comedy. But I'm telling my story in different ways that people can relate to it in the way that they can relate to it. They want to see it that way. Right.
I love that.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, I mean, can you think of anyone else who has told their story that is a story that is one that is sad, but then they flip it and turn it into a comedy? And when I thought about how I was telling my story, and I can't find anyone that has done that.
I mean, I think it's to turn pain into comedy. I mean, what else can you do? Sit in it and wallow in it? Exactly. When I feel not in the best place, I turn on comedy. And you know what? Not to interrupt, but I just got done working, well, it was last year, but it's coming out, I believe, in the first quarter of next year on the E! Channel, and it's called The Funny Dance Show. And there were tons of comedians, so we can talk later after the show, and even possibly introducing you or connecting you with a lot of comedians, because each show, each episode has four different comedians, and we filmed 8 episodes, so that was like over 30 comedians that I met, and they're all extremely talented, doing their thing, doing
and
films.
I'm sure I probably know a lot of them. I've been out since the 80s, but a lot of people didn't get a chance to know me because I spent most of my time as a postal worker and as a metro driver. And I started out with Cedric the Entertainer and all those guys was first getting started out. I was just popping in and out, and it was Cedric the Entertainer who inspired me to actually take the stage. But I fell in love with comedy at a very young age, watching Flip Wilson and Carol Burnett. And then I'm actually a prop comic, and I'm one of few comedians that you can't find their comedy online. And that came about because I didn't know the business. And as I was finding out how the business is, and how devastating it can be when, you know, you around people who are supposed to be full of joy and laughter, and then there's so much backstabbing, and, you know, but I wanted to take my gift and use it to make a difference. So I don't highlight myself anymore. I don't put myself out there anymore. So when people do see my comedy, matter of fact, I'm going to be doing an open mic on the 27th, I believe, of this month. So someone brought me to come out and do comedy, and I think they're challenging me for real. See if I, you know, if I'm actually funny or if I have it, because I'm known as comedian Miss Witty. But when you look up comedian Miss Witty, you can't find any comedy. But trust and believe, it's footage out there. I've been in the Bay Area Black Comedy Competition a couple of years. I've tried out for like Comic View and Who's Got Jokes, and I've done a lot of local comedy here in St. Louis, and being one of few prop comics, female prop comics, and my creative props that I hand make, or I may, you know, find something that I may use when I'm telling my jokes. I'm still under the radar. I'm that comedian that people are talking about, but people don't really know my style of comedy, because I'm not out there like a lot of the comedians that are known. But I know I'm gonna break out. It's like it's gonna footage of me doing comedy will probably just start coming out because people have me in their files somewhere, you know, or on some film or something. You know how it goes.
Most of my brilliant dance days are on VHS. So, and then on social media or YouTube. And that was like my heart and soul, my hard work, you know, back then. Jeez. Yeah. It's all good.
Well, I did want to say this, and I'm hoping that I can work with someone if it's not the original filmmaker. I would like to see my documentary done again, because when we did the documentary, he used what he had, and later on he bought even more equipment and more things that he could have done to make the documentary even better than it is. But it is a really nice piece. Like I said, I hope you get a chance to check it out. I am thinking that my story, The Day I Almost Went Postal, I really can see it as like a lifetime, lifetime movie. Mm-hmm. Is that the network?
Yeah.
Lifetime. Yeah. I mean, I really can see it. I was approached several years ago by a person who was very closely friends with Adam Sandler, and they were. Well, I can't say they, I'll just say she, because she was the only one that I had the conversation with. When she heard about my story, and she was so intrigued with it, she was like, we need to pitch this to his people. And I told her no, because first she asked me how would I feel with him playing the role of a postal worker, you know, going postal. I said no, because the uniqueness about my story is there are women who have gone postal, and you may find little stories here and there on the internet, but it's not highlighted. And the story itself, with what happens with the postal workers, it should be highlighted. It's one of those things that a lot of people know about, but it's kind of like so low key, so covered up. It needs to be shown, and I really believe once my story get out there, and I think me doing what I'm doing with this comedy festival is actually going to shine the light and start to create some type of change. Because if you go and do some research, you know, with your background, you may find another story to tell. You may find another piece of work, because it's out there. And it's almost like the Me Too movement, when it's just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I just invite you to do some research on
for sure.
All the different stories, things that have happened, you know, and I'm sure you'll probably think, wow, I remember hearing about this story way back in the 80s or the 90s, and because a lot of it get covered up or it don't make the news, and there are a lot of people flipping out at these government agencies, you know, just like the one that was just in the story with the guy, he's at a naval base, if I'm not mistaken. These stories need to be told. But as far as my story, you know, I'm just waiting. I just know it's going to be somebody that's going to come in my life and say, hey, we need to also tell this story like it's a lifetime story, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's so deep. You know, if you're allowed to tell you know, a little bit about what happened to me when I was working for the Postal Service.
Independent and on my own since I was 17. So it struck me in a way because I wasn't accepted in a lot of ways. And thank God I didn't go down a horrible path. I'm not attracted to the story because of that. You know, I rose out of it. You know, I paid for college myself. And, you know, and I was just fortunate to have amazing, inspiring people in my life that I didn't go down that path. So when you don't have mentors and people to look up to, that could happen to you. So I'm grateful, like I said earlier, that I did have these amazing people in my life to look up to and to guide me. But for those that don't, this sort of story can happen, that they have no one to look up to, and they get sucked into, you know, these sorts of people that are manipulating them. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And all who are just now listening in to the podcast show, this is Radio NTV Entertainment, MFM Podcast Show. We're in a live interview with Mrs. Dawn Noel, actress and dancer for many decades in film and television, and with my amazing celebrity co-host, Miss Motivational Comedian, Miss Woody. And, you know, this is, I love how you really can relate, have some relatable, you know, thoughts and into how everything is based on truth. It's based on some element of truth when telling a story like that.
Yeah, if there's no truth behind it, people won't believe it.
You know, yeah. It's and it starts out similar to that effect when so many of our youth, of the youth today, are, you know, either turned away or, you know, there's some rejection or at some point, or they just don't feel like they're noticed in some aspect. So they go and they look out for other things in their communities that they can try to be a part of. And this is where kind of the wolves in clothing lie, in that aspect of finding those who are feeling like they're missing a link in their lives, and they look to hook them into possibly misleading them. There's so many stories out there like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and either they use all in any type of bait possible, and you know, to bait them into this sort of missing lifestyle that we call trafficking. And it's happening all over the world. It's actually been happening for decades, if you think about
absolutely.
It. You know,
it's just getting highlighted.
Just now getting highlighted under the radar, you know, when it comes to, you know, and so we kind of have to think, you know, how long, you know, why is it still going on? And we think about how it started. You know, it started with those who were in power. At a certain point.
And it's still going with the people that are in power. You know, it sucks. It's almost like our government. I definitely am a conspiracy theorist, so we don't need to get started. I'm not going to go there on your show right now.
It's okay.
But, you know, I'm wondering, like, 20 years from now, what's going to be highlighted? 20 years from now, of what's going on today? You know, it's a very sad time. Because it's just greed, 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 and it's everybody is just people in power. And at times it's like there's nothing you can do, but what I can do is at least bring awareness, you know, because people don't even know. I mean, that's from everything from food to people don't even know what they're eating, you know, everything. And there's so many stories to tell. Like I said earlier, there's so many, and they're all important. Which one do you choose to tell? Which one resonates in you? Because the more it resonates in you, the more you connect with it, the more you'll get it done.
Well, I can say this, is that I think first and foremost, for me as people, you know, and we always have stories about people, you know, whether it's a story, you know, when it comes to the way of life or where they came from, where they're going at any point of what propels them each day, compels them each day to a certain point. You know, it's about people, and mainly, you know, as I see it, it's really affecting the youth today. becoming so lost when it comes to looking at television, and they only see, and I love the fact that we have someone like yourself, Ms. Noel, that speaks the truth about what it's really like in the industry, when it comes to that it's not just the luxury, it's not the limousines, it's not the, you know, the glamorous lifestyle. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication.
Yes, and it gets tiring, trust me. And you, even when you're not strong, you have to stay strong, you have to stay determined, and sometimes you gotta take a break and live life, because it's not who I am, it's what I do, if that makes sense. It's at this point in my life, it's not who I am, it's what I do. You know, and getting to that place is a hard place, because people out here, like you said earlier, are cutthroat. I have no time for that. And then you mentioned So You Think You Can Dance. I'm so sorry. I love that you love the show. I hate the show. I have never watched it. I've never looked at dance or art as a competition. I just can't. You know, so there's a lot of people like that, and it's hard to be around. And you just have to be so grounded in yourself to not let any of that affect you. It's not, you're not in competition with anyone. You just, you know, what's meant for you will be for you, what you work hard on. And if things don't come to you, create your own stuff and don't complain.
Well, hey, Charles, I agree. I totally agree with that.
You can't put your hands, your life and your career in the hands of someone else. I have had so many agents or managers in my life. So many. 90% of the work that I have gotten was from me.
Wow.
Yes.
Honest. Wow. And that's, you know, but it's just, we can, you can actually say that it's sort of, it's almost empowering, in a sense.
Yeah.
It's very empowering.
It's tiring. That's what you're paying your agents and your managers for. It gets tiring, but you know what? Exactly. It builds strength. And then I can motivate other people or inspire other people to do the same. But it's tiring at times, so you have to balance it out. You have to take time for you. You know? Absolutely. That foundation is just as important.
Amen. You know, how do you, this is the will, and how do you balance it? How do you balance that?
And did you ask how old I was?
No. How did you balance?
Oh.
Because you look wonderful.
Like,
so no. I'm not going to even, we're not even going to mention that at all.
How do I thank you?
Wish you. But
thank you. How do I balance it? I definitely take, even if it's a day, like today, with like not answering the phone or meditating or taking a hike, just doing things for me that I love, even if it's getting with my friends and playing cards. We love to play cards. You know, just taking time for you and like shutting off your brain of, oh my God, I have an audition. Oh my God, I gotta do this. Oh my God, I gotta do that. Like just taking that chill moment, going to the beach. The beach is like my home. So everybody is different. Some people like to write in their journal. Sometimes I like to color. You know, I don't know, little things, whatever works for you. Going to get acupuncture, just taking care of your physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental body. You know, because it can get stressful. Yeah. I mean, everybody is different, so whatever it is. Digging deep into figuring out what works for you and what your balance is.
You know, so many of us, we talk about cancer, but sometimes it's, you know, the biggest war we have is within our inner sanity, our inner mentality, our inner way of balancing, and finding, you know, getting back to the sense of who you are, because we can lose ourselves in a sense in everyday life. We can kind of lose who we are, in a sense. You know, even in, you know, we think of entertainment, and you know, these, you know, you as an actress, you know, and actors have to lose thyself to kind of become something, someone else. someone else's, you wear someone else's clothes. You wear
And when you do that, let go as soon as possible. Because you can be taken down. Like, I've watched people go a little crazy after they've gone into a character that they can't really get out of. And the work that it takes to get out of getting into the character and then getting out of the character, people don't understand what actors go through at times. It's not just, it literally, it's not glamorous at times. That's the truth of it. And knowing who you are, my goodness, don't get me started on that. Because the school system already takes that away from you. And half the stuff you're learning in school from a child is not even true. So it's almost like really, really digging deep on who you are. And we're all love at the end of the day. So if you make any decision and it's based on love, you're operating from your true self. Mic drop.
Wow. Wow. Mic drop. Mic drop. Mic drop. Mary J. Blige, mic drop.
I dropped it myself. I dropped it myself.
We heard the echo.
Right.
You know, it's amazing because, I'm a family, I have a family myself, and you know, my daughter, she models, and she's done a little bit of acting, and so forth, and as I always tell her, I said, first and foremost, don't ever lose a sense of growing up, and knowing who you are, and finding, so you don't have to find out who you are later in life.
Yeah. Be a kid. Still be a kid. Yeah.
Education first, even though I have to agree, a lot of what is taught in school, I wish they could bring back, if they can ever bring back, a sense of reality. And I think me and Miss Whitney was just talking about that in a video cast, not too long ago, about, a sense of understanding finances. Being able to be mentally strong in financing, and that's, and understanding wealth and how it is built. And this is something what I talk about in the industry of entertainment. How do you build that? Build that value over time. And then maintain it in the world of the entertainment industry. And it goes hand in hand in the real world and entertainment. Because if you know what it is to build wealth outside of what we call the cubicle, the office space, I would say, and then you can bring it into any type of other environment, you have a sense of understanding how to grow from there. They don't teach that in schools. They teach you mathematics. They teach you science. You have a little bit of drama. You have a little bit of phys ed. But some of the things that are really quality, they're still debating on whether it should still be initiated years from now. Drama. And they never, and other factors, extracurriculum that really finds a sense of who you are inside. As we were speaking about that, I actually wrote a book on how to profit in entertainment through social media. But my whole sense of that is, how do you profit without going under management and agents and having, this kind of entourage? How do you do that when it's just you?
I need to read that book.
Well, it's on Amazon. And it's also an audiobook. And we're actually getting ready to do an entertainment workshop, and it's going to be an accelerated master workshop and conference that we're developing at the point. Because, I always look forward to seeing people thrive in everything that they're passionate about doing, and being able to have a balance. And you spoke it effortlessly about balance. This is a well.
Probably, even though I need to read your book and go to one of these workshops about wealth, and I didn't learn any of that stuff, and I wish I knew, I never, even as a dancer or actor, I never look at it from a money point of view. Never, ever, ever. It's just not in my nature. I don't know. So sometimes, I remember when I went to, I don't know how much time we have left. Quick story, I'll make it quick. Like auditioning for Madonna. Not even what I wanted to do. I was a classically trained dancer that started out with like modern dance companies and dancing for operas. But I couldn't afford doing that kind of stuff, you know, doing what I loved and living in New York. So I was like, I gotta audition for Broadway. I hated Broadway. Mind you, I did 4 Broadway shows. But I didn't even like touring, doing like hip hop, but I could do it. And I needed to make money. So I learned how to balance it out. I tour with Madonna, come back, and dance for a dance company that I got paid $150 a week. But I was happy. And what was my point? Where was my point? Oh, money. I would never look at it from a money point of view. And somehow, when you just do what you love, and not for the purpose of money, for me at least, the jobs with the money came. So I wasn't seeking it, but because the passion behind it, it's almost like there's no desperation. If I walk into a room and audition, I'm not going in. Yes, I go in with confidence, but it's not an egoic confidence. It's, hey, I'm going to do my thing, and if it's right for you, you know, but there's a sense of confidence. There's no desperation. Casting directors or directors and writers, they can feel that, like, oh, my God, okay, this person really, really wants, oh, God. This desperation sometimes is scary. But when you're so secure within yourself and knowing that what's meant for me is meant for me, you're okay and happy regardless of whether you get this job or not. No one controls my happiness. But that's the work you got to do first. Before any of the other stuff. Because you will drown in this industry. You get sucked in. I'm sure the entertainment business has sex trafficking too. Within these actors, these little kids coming, moving from the middle of the country, from the Midwest, they just want to be famous. They have no idea what an acting class is. They have no idea how to emote. They have no idea how to express them. They haven't been through life. So they're going to be the easiest to manipulate. But when you have a solid foundation, nothing can knock you down. It's the most important. Period. The rest will come in.
This is, you know, this is very valid, and I'm glad you know, really had a sense of putting that in a wonderful perspective. It evokes thought of how it is really actually approached when you're in an audition room and anything to do. Because I think because I saw that you've also modeled and. And when talking about that, in a sense, it's all about what the director's looking for, you know, what they're looking for in that character. It's almost like as soon as you step into the room, you are who you are auditioning for. You are that role.
Mm-hmm.
You are that character.
And I've done casting too. My short film, 22 Years. I had to look for a little girl, a little version of myself. It was so hard. It was really hard. This one little girl came into the room. Her name was Jelena Sky. She had these little Converse on, these little tight jeans, this leather jacket. I was like, oh my God, that's me. So you know, as soon as, not even because the look, and then the way she just spoke, I was like, okay, this is it. As long as we can work with her, you know, and she was in, and that's when the director comes in. It's like, okay, well, let me try this. Let me try that. Let me see if she can listen, if she can understand, if she'll take direction. But you know, what you're looking for. Yeah. You know it as soon as it, and then sometimes the decision is hard, you know, if it's between a couple different people. But yeah, you know, you can't take any of that personal.
This is very true. This is very true. It's like sort of immediately how when you're casting, you kind of sense of, you wrote the character and you know, you have a sense of what you're looking for. And as soon as you see the audition tape or you see them coming to the audition room, you take a look at them and then immediately you know, if that's going to be, if they're going to be, if they invoke that character or not.
Mm-hmm. And you can't take, nobody can take it personal. It has no, it has nothing to do with you. They're looking for something specific.
Absolutely, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, my experience when I was talking to actor Charles D. Clark, he was just recently in the film Harry Tubman. And as he implied, you know, he says that before that, before he went, and he was the character, one of the abolition characters in Harry Tubman, he was also in another film called Volkov. And immediately, when I saw his, he was just in his car, and he just had the camera pointed at him, and I literally saw him change into Bruce, the character role that he betrayed in Volkov. And immediately I said, I haven't seen the film, I haven't seen the B-roll, but I have to see this film now. Because I saw him become Bruce. You know, I'm Brutus. I'm Brutus. You know, he's such a big guy. You know, and I literally saw him become Bruce. And it just, that just that little bit got me to say, I have got to see this film.
Awesome.
Just by that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know, and so it's very much similar to exactly what you said, you know, when you're casting, you know, I didn't create this film. It was, Mr. Lee. He actually was the creator of the film, and he acted in the film himself, and, pretty good film. It's on, I believe Amazon Prime, for films, pretty good. And, but when, you know, that character wasn't even really created. It was just supposed to be a bartender role. And just behind the scenes, you know, kind of a small part. But when they saw his perform, his ability to become Brutus, they expanded that role. And he just, they expanded that role.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
See?
That's beautiful. You know? Yeah. And sometimes even directors, they don't even know what they want sometimes. And you can bring something completely different. That's happened to me a couple times where they didn't know what they wanted, and I just brought what I thought it was. And they were like, okay, let's go with that. You know, that's just being, you have to do that work too, you know, figuring out the character.
And I think he improvises the character. Like you've mentioned, you know, he improvises the character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'll say himself, he was on, wonderful series Empire, and he was one of the exhibits, members, in the television series, and he had recurring roles on Empire, being part of exhibits, team in the television series, and it grew from, and he just started getting more roles, and just people really liked the way he really, he's really a great method actor. So, but it, which brings me to ask a question. Well, as a well-seasoned actress yourself, what kind of acting really draws you in the most? Are you, more...
I've studied them all. I've studied them all. Just the same as dance. You study all the techniques and you have a tool belt and you pull out what you need at what time. For me. Being stuck in one way leaves you not open. So have everything in your tool belt. Have all the colors. And when you need to pull something out, certain techniques are good for certain things. Meisner's great for listening, you know? But learning Shakespeare is great for just knowing the history of study, you know, of things, and knowing storytelling and script analysis. There's so many techniques, even as a dancer, knowing ballet, tap, jazz, African, salsa, hip-hop. Like, you have to know, you just have to be versatile. That's what I think. Unless you're really, really specific to something and you're really, like, a master of something or a jack-of-all-trades. Whatever works for you, depending on what it is, you know. Wow. I'm not going to pull out my Shakespeare training if it's a sitcom. You have to switch. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a, you know, which is key, you know, and I love how you mentioned the Meisner technique for listening. You know, another actor I know, and he's also a film producer, Mr. Art Turwin, over in New York City, you know, he studied Meisner, and he just took the full course of the Meisner technique and other forms of acting, and he himself, you know, he says that he mentioned, feels the same way, I believe, you know, when it comes to those techniques, and just being able to be well-versed, and just be ready, you know, for something that, you know, maybe the director's not quite sure where he, what type of direction he would like to go when it comes to a character, it's good to have that, you know, be able to improvise, and be able to be flow easy, and be able to flow with it, and this is what you got, you know, your perception. So it's wow. What is up and coming for you right now in this year?
Oh,
for 2019.
Yeah, I have a bunch of stuff coming up actually. I think I emailed it to you a while ago, but I have to like write this stuff down. I did in the past like 2 months. I've worked on NCIS LA a couple times as Officer Jessica Cole. I just filmed last week, so I'm not even sure when that episode comes out. There is a horror film called SOS, and that actually has a featuring Brian Wells. He was in the original Mad Max movie, and that was directed by Brian Martin. There is a sci-fi martial arts slash spiritual sort of film coming out called Devada. And it's based on the Seven Deadly Sins, and I play Envy. I filmed that in Hawaii. That is definitely an indie film, going to all the film festivals first. There is a comedy coming out called White People Money, directed by Mark Harris. It's got some really cool people you recognize if you look it up. That's a funny one. That's going to be awesome. To the New Girl, which is a very artsy sort of piece, a comedy drama. Kind of like, you remember Vagina Monologues? It's kind of like that. It's like, I think it's 8 women, if I'm not mistaken, doing like these 5 to 7 minute monologues about their ex-boyfriend or ex-husbands. It's crazy, but that'll probably be hitting the film festival circuit soon. I just booked The Prom. It wasn't a musical in New York on Broadway. Now Ryan Murphy is making it into a Netflix movie. So I'm dancing in that. We film in January. And it's a Meryl Streep, I think Nicole Kidman. I forget who is part of the cast. I would have to look it back up. So I'm dancing in that. Penny Dreadful, which I believe is on Showtime. We already filmed an episode maybe about a month ago, and I'm filming another one next month as a dancer. So I go back and forth from dancing to acting. Hey, that's the hustle. So, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff coming out. I say, you know, I try my best to post stuff on social media here and there as things come up or come out that you can check out. I have a website, which I don't really update that much. But you know, Facebook, huh?
Amazing website.
Thank you. I don't really update it too often. Facebook is just so easy for me. So that's probably the easiest, you know. But I'll post around just to, you know, what's coming up and stuff like that. But there's a bunch of stuff coming up this year, coming out and coming up. So yeah. Grateful and blessed.
You are so fluid and so you know, so active, and it's amazing how you can keep everything together the way you do in the realm of the industry of entertainment, and it's just amazing to hear the truth. You know, you speak truth, Ms. Noel. You speak a lot of validation. And validity into what it's like in the entertainment industry. Have you considered going into, you know, being a broadcaster in some in in some format.
Maybe some oh my god, I would love to. Oh my god. I've always wanted to do a podcast, but I always wanted like a sidekick or a partner. And then I can never find somebody who works as hard as me or is like committed as much as I am. Because once I do something, I put like 1,000,000% into it. And it's hard, believe it or not, it's hard to find someone. They're like, oh yeah, maybe I'll be interested. But I'm like full steam ahead. I've always wanted to do a podcast or like do radio. I've done so many interviews. And I was like, oh, this would be awesome. I love to talk. So yes, I would love to do that. Let me know if you know anybody, need somebody to be on the radio.
Hey, like we're going to be talking after this, so I've got people, so yeah, absolutely, you know, that would love the opportunity to work with you, so well, you are so, you're so energetic, you have so much energy, and I could see you, I could see why you're so impactful on stage, and in dance, and have you also considered, you know, building, you know, because I feel I hear the energy of activism in you. Have you been a part of a lot of networks when it comes to activism as well?
That could be a separate conversation. Long story short, I felt like I did that a lot in high school and college, and I'm tired. You know, when you feel like things are changing slowly, but they're really not, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm working on that within myself to be positive that, yes, things are changing, when it just is a mask to make it look like it's changing. But that's another subject. I'm not going to do that right now. Sure. I don't know. If I really could make a difference, I will continue to try. I'll do it through my art. It's the best way I can do it without getting so frustrated.
And I think that once you're in that realm, that state of mind and the time is permissible, you're going to make a great impact. I already feel that within you, Ms. Noel. I really do.
Yeah.
Feel that. Yeah. Mrs. Now, I know I've said a lot, you know, I've asked a lot of my questions, and I know Mrs. Woody is in the background, and she's got some questions cooking up to ready to ask you, you know, her questions, Ms. Noel. Ms. Woody, what are your thoughts?
I've been sitting back listening, you know, I got this background, so... I wanted to chime in way back when we were talking about generational wealth and doing things for the money. I feel that we should know that wealth usually comes because of someone being determined in the family to do something that will provide for the family for generations, but it's usually started from that person who's very determined to do something and very passionate about something. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
You know, with the just that one, you know, as we've all heard this one inkling of a mustard seed. That's all it takes. In starting something fresh, a fresh perspective, and you know, with that in mind, you know, you're in the creative realm at all times, it seems like, but you know, you do know, Mrs. Noel, that you have a sense of balance, and you don't feel like you're being selfish in taking that, you know, taking that period of time to do that.
You gotta put your oxygen mask on first before you put somebody else's on. It's not selfish at all. How can you love someone else when you don't love yourself? How can you give when you don't give to yourself first? It's not selfish. It's true.
Amen. Amen. We all have to kind of put that aside because it isn't selfish. It's, you know, know, it helps you balance and refresh. It's just like a bodybuilder that's getting ready for a competition, and they know that they have to take little breaks in between to get stronger, to build their body, to be able to go back in and work twice as hard to get their body and mind together to do the next lift. So, in that sense, in that perspective, this is a well. You know what? I feel that, you know, your balance is right, and that everything you said, it could be put in a book. Is there a book, you know, coming in the next?
I would love to. I want somebody else to write it. I don't want to write it.
Wow.
I would love to talk and somebody else write. I just, you know, we're good at some things and not good at others. And I know what I am. And, you know, maybe that's my challenge. Maybe I need to. Maybe I should. Yeah.
Have a
I will written. At some point.
If you could get a book written today, or started, what kind of title would you give it, Mrs. Noel?
I'd have to think about that. Pain to Pleasure. Pain to Peace. Because I actually want to create something. So whoever's listening, don't take that title. I'm actually creating another short film. I'm letting it go how it's supposed to. It's definitely going to be an artistic passion piece, but called Pain to Peace.
Amazing.
Yeah, I would probably name the book that.
I love it. No one take that now, okay? Because it's probably not written in stone yet. It could change. So
it could. And it's not copywritten. But if you take it, I'd be flattered.
We'll have to give them a piece of the credit. Isn't that right?
Okay.
One point of credit. You know, if you have anything that you would like to tell someone that is looking into getting into your line of, you know, getting into the line of work in the industry, what would you give them? What kind of advice would you give them, Ms. Noel?
Well, for one, make sure you really love and know why you're getting into the arts. And hopefully it's not ego-based, but it's because you want to share something, express something, and change the world through your art. Because once it gets ego-based, it's downhill. And we can see it. That's why we don't believe actors or, you know, to have something to share. And if you are going to get into the business, respect the craft and take classes. Not just a 1 month master class, but you never stop learning and study life, because that's what actors are doing. They're just imitating life and imitating people. So never stop learning about yourself and the craft.
They may have to pay to listen to this podcast.
See, that's how you get your profit from your social media. That's what I need to do. I give it away because I love it.
indeed. They're going to have to, you know, kind of get in line to take your classes as well. to really master it, what you've given thus far. And, this is what, Radio and TV Entertainment AMF is all about. We're learning through listening. Learning through listening to those who lived it, who lived the industry, who live and breathe the industry and understand it, and have something to say about it. And, it's been an amazing and powerful interview with you, Mrs. Noel. You have given a lot of truth. And this is what I always express, that a great interview is about truth. It's about truth. And not being afraid to live your truth. To tell the tale. And be honest. And open. In every sense of the word. And not be afraid to do it. Because in this industry, you can't be afraid to have that freedom of expression. And be able to express and be open as much as possible. And
exactly.
You know, and Mr. Well, you've done that. And I hope that you always
Absolutely.
We got to get a part two with you, Mrs. Noel.
Okay. Let me know.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time. And feel free to reach out on social media and follow me on, I don't know, Instagram, Facebook. What else is there? LinkedIn. All of them. I post every day, whether it's an inspirational quote or what's happening. Awesome. Can you send me the link also, and then I can repost it?
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to hand deliver it with a ribbon for you, Soel.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool. Awesome.
Again, Soel, we just had a wonderful time with you on Radio and TV Entertainment AMFM podcast show, and with my amazing celebrity co-host, Mrs. Motivational Comedian Miss Woody, and
yes, thank you. This was a great interview.
Amazing.
Awesome. Cool.
I can't wait for part two. For this one.
Awesome. Let me know.
So this has been Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM podcast show. And everyone, we're out.
Peace out.
Sunshine in my life. desire is on fire. There's a co-attraction, lights, camera, action. Somebody meet me in the break room. Get the honey, I'll be there soon.
Give them what you need. dream, and I don't want things like this. I don't want to go home, sweet home, 'cause things are so tense. Seems the simple things mean nothing these days. House is only home when the family's together and strong. It's the new love we play.
No romance.
It doesn't have to be this way.
No
to get you in the mood.
No romance.
With the showers between us two.
There's no romance.
With the foreplay between us two. Girl, I'm finally over you. Many like to play silly games of war and roses. Truth be told, my love, the only thing that holds there. Let us see if we can put things back together. Thought we were family, and our thing will last forever. It's the new love we play.
No romance.
It doesn't have to be this way.
No romance.
I've tried to get you in the mood.
No romance.
With the showers we used to do.
There's no romance.
With the foreplay between us two.
Talent trying to make it in the world of entertainment? The way to do that is through social media. But how? With the ebook, How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide from author Yolanda Nolly. This incredible book will teach you how to brand yourself and how to earn profits using social media and other entertainment media platforms. The entertainment agencies will be offering you high-paying jobs. How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide. Order your copy today on Amazon and everywhere else.
Chapter 1. How to Rise to the Top When Everybody There Is Already. Think you've got talent? You're not alone. The power of the internet, YouTube, and reality television has created a big pool of famous and not so famous people. So how do you rise to the top in your career, especially as an actor or actress in Hollywood, when it seems so crowded above? These three tips will help you make the moves to superstardom and stretch your 15 minutes of fame as a movie star into an hour. Get trained. What separates the actors from the imitators? Their respect for the craft of acting. Before you spend money on headshots, find the best acting, singing, and dancing classes in your area, and invest in your career. The most talented people in the business continually train with acting coaches to prepare for roles. They don't take their gift for granted. It is quite possible to have the innate talent for a particular art, but the successful entertainers who continue to work in the entertainment industry have developed their art over time. Acquire multiple skills. Become a Jack or Jill of all trades. The stars of the future will write, produce, and direct their own projects. Don't get lost by having only one skill that can make you money. Become an actor, director, writer, producer, and even a model. Can't write? Collaborate with a young filmmaker who needs an actor or fresh new face for his or her projects. The top money makers in show business look for ways to increase their market share and find opportunities to promote their multiple skills. You must diversify your talent to stay relevant. Create your own products. Be a trendsetter. Want to be the next Berry Gordy, Steven Spielberg, Mark Burnett, or Oprah Winfrey? Create an amazing product. Become an expert in your field. But you can't be a trend follower. You must be a trend setter. Don't better the worst product. Better the best. Gordy is a musical genius. Spielberg is a film mastermind. Mark Burnett is the whiz kid of reality TV. Oprah is a successful talk show maven and the new product's best girlfriend. Find a niche, create products, and sell. But the products you create must be phenomenal, not average, not mediocre. Think like the greats. Improve upon their successes. Create amazing products that your audience can't live without. Famous people of the future are increasing their knowledge, creating products, and diversifying their talents. Some of these innovators are stealing the thunder from established stars that are still following the old rules found in the star-making playbook. Use my suggestions to stay ahead of the next group of reality stars and home video masterminds. If not, you might disappear before you even enter the game. Chapter 2. Finding ways to make money using your artistic. Whether you have great musical talent, the ability to paint, or have outstanding writing prowess, you may be able to find ways to make money by using your talent. You certainly should use these skills to your advantage and not let them become wasted on just a recreational hobby. Musicians have so many different venues to go out and sell their talent, while a real, serious artist might still be able to sell their work if they can get their work exposed to the public eye. Writers often have a tough time trying to get their work published, but have outlets like short story and freelance opportunities as well to make a buck. While the most common stumbling block for an artist to find ways to make money is often their hardline stance on not wanting to be a sellout and wanting to keep their trade pure, this will often keep the artist very poor until they are dead. The smart ones will get out in the marketplace and try and get their art sold to as many people as they can. Quite a lot of musicians will work as cover bands or do things like weddings and school proms to make a buck, and writers will sell their work writing things they have little interest in just to gain notoriety and bring in the cash as well. This is often the price an artist has to pay before they are established in their venue of choice. If you are someone who has a talent, you may want to start looking for ways to make money from that talent, even if it is a weekend gig just doing kids' birthday parties as a juggling cowboy or singing with a Beatles cover band. It will allow you to make some money doing what you are good at and potentially open some doors for you to expand off of that talent. No matter what it is you ultimately want to do with your life, letting your artistic skills find ways to make money for you cannot hurt. You never know how far your talent may take you these days, as the avenues to exposure on a grand scale are more plentiful than they used to be. From YouTube to American Idol, there are many roads to success these days. The best thing you can do is try your hand at as many paths as possible and see where it leads. If it never works out for you, so be it. You can return to your boring 9-to-5 day job and keep singing on the weekends. Chapter 3. How to make money from your crafts and art. If you are someone who enjoys putting together artistic projects, you can turn this into an opportunity to make extra money online. Whether you paint, make jewelry, take photographs, or craft other pieces of artwork together, you can turn this into a money-making activity. People are often willing to pay for different artworks which they enjoy, and as long as your works actually have artistic merit, you will have a good chance at making money from them. There are a few different websites available which can help you sell crafts and other pieces of art that you may have put together. By running searches and looking through some of the listings offered, you may be able to determine which website your pieces will fit into best. Taking the time to do your research will help you make extra money online, as you will know the best places to put your talents without wasting your time. Should you start to make extra money online through your art projects, you will only be inspired to spend more time working on them. This will serve two purposes in your life. Not only will you be bringing in some extra cash, which always helps, but you will also be able to spend time doing something that you genuinely love. This goal, which started out simply as a way to make extra money online, will turn into a great chance for you to develop your talents and skills and grow as an artist. It is definitely an opportunity which should be explored by anyone who is serious about developing their talents. Chapter 4. The right way to use YouTube to promote you. When we think of social media, YouTube is not really at the top of the list in the mind of an entrepreneur. It is less about social interaction and more of a good place to go for some distraction. This might be the case, but that doesn't mean it cannot be an integral part of marketing your brand online as an entertainer. What makes YouTube a social site is how easy it is for users to share the content with other people, as well as the ability to leave comments and subscribe to the channels they like. It is another way for a brand to reach its target audience online and grow its reputation as an industry leader. YouTube has the lowest average bounce rate of all the social networks. It is the continuous engagement from users that make it a channel that holds onto attention better than most. People are able to simply watch content instead of scroll and read. Another thing to consider is just how enormous YouTube's reach is. Over 1 billion unique visitors. That is a huge market that is largely untapped by so many businesses today. YouTube is a great channel for brands of all sizes in the entertainment world. Even for bloggers who are eager to grow their readership and build up their personal brand, can take advantage of the simple platform by uploading videos. So, as a brand, what should you be doing to get the most of all that YouTube can offer? First, fill out your profile completely. It is the same on every social network. You don't want to leave holes. Make sure that you are giving as much information about yourself as possible. Visitors want to see your info when they click on your profile, so don't leave them disappointed. Then, give your channel a good description. The channel description is like an introduction letter. It lets people know who you are and what they can expect when they watch your videos. This doesn't have to be a great work of literature, simply a brief statement about who you are, what types of videos you will be posting, and how often. Be sure to use your keywords in your description to make your channel easier to find through a user search. Be sure to include links. On your About page, it is always a good idea to include the links to your other social sites, like Twitter and Facebook, plus a direct link to your website or blog. This is a good way to get more people engaging with your brand outside of YouTube and build your fan base. Give your page some love. You can personalize your channel art in YouTube by adding a profile picture. Make sure that it is something reflective of your brand by using your logo, colors, and even your own picture. Stay active. You don't want people visiting your page and only finding a few videos that you posted at the dawn of time. Always create new videos to post to your channel. Interact with your followers by responding to any comments that they leave. Send out a thank you when they subscribe. You can see anything being discussed on your channel under the Discussion tab. The more active you are with your channel, the bigger your audience is going to get. It is also a good idea to embed your videos into blog posts, status updates on social media, or on your website. This is a good way for you to add channel subscribers from those who are already following you elsewhere. YouTube is a key part of any marketing strategy. Are you using it for your brand?